Good morning. Welcome to our worship today. It's the sixth Sunday of Easter. The focus of our service is that the love of God leads us to a life of obedience. Our prayer is that God would always grant us the grace to give us the strength and the ability to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give, the reason for the hope that we have. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him. We deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us turn to Him and confess our sins. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against You. I do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. Dear friends, our Heavenly Father has forgiven us all of our sins. By the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed our guilt forever. We are His own dear children. May God give us then that strength to live according to His will. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes from You. Inspire us to think those things that are true and long for those things that are good, that we may always make our petitions according to Your gracious will. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God for today. The first lesson is from Acts chapter 17. We hear these words beginning in verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead." This is God's Word. Our second lesson today then is from the epistle of 1 Peter chapter 3. "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him." This is God's Word. And our Bible reading then comes from the Gospel for today. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show him myself to him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Our lesson today then for meditation is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the Word of God. Many, many years ago at the University of Wisconsin, there was a group of brilliant young men that seemed to have an amazing creative literary talent. And these promising young men met regularly to read and critique each other's literary works. These men were merciless while they criticized one another. Nothing was held back. The motto of the club might have been "No Mercy." The weekly sessions became so brutal that the members of this exclusive club called themselves the Stranglers. Well, not to be outdone, a similar club was formed by the females, who also had that creative literary talent. The ladies of this exclusive club called themselves the Wranglers. The Wranglers also met weekly, shared their literary pieces in front of each other. But unlike the Stranglers, the critiques that they had for each other's work was gentle, more positive, more encouraging. Every effort from a member was always encouraged by all. 20 years later, a university researcher did a study of the careers of the members of both groups. And he noticed a huge difference in the accomplishments of the Stranglers and the Wranglers. Among all the brilliant young men in the Strangler Club, not a single one of the Stranglers achieved a literary achievement. But the Wranglers, they had several successful writers and some of national renown, such as Marjorie Rawlings, who wrote The Yearling. The talent level between the two groups, the level of education was almost the same. So what made the difference? The Stranglers strangled each other. They tore each other down, while the Wranglers built each other up. They brought out the best in each other. The group of Christians who made up of the early Christian church might very well have been the original Wranglers. They were determined to build each other up. A sense of excitement, purpose, and love permeated all that they did, and it showed. As we start crossing the bridge from the Easter season to the season of Pentecost, this week is Thursday, is the Ascension, so 40 days after the Easter celebration, and 10 days later we will celebrate Pentecost. Well, as we start crossing this bridge, we learn some wonderful lessons from the Wranglers. And that is recorded then for us in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. But before we look at those lessons that we can learn from the Wranglers, let's just take a brief look at the background of the book of Acts. You might recall that Acts is a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. It continues where Luke ends. It continues with the ascension of Jesus Christ. And it tells a story of the impact of Jesus on the church, and then the impact of the church on the world. The impact started within verse 42 and 3. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Before we grow out, it's important to grow within. The number one activity of the Wranglers here in our lesson, the original Wranglers, was hearing and studying God's word. The apostles' teaching obviously focused on Jesus. They taught about his miracles, about his perfect life, about his death on the cross, his resurrection on Easter, and about his ascension. They taught about what that all means. The miracles proved that Jesus was the Son of God. His perfect life that he lived for you and for me. The death of our Savior paid for all the sins, and his resurrection proved it. His ascension says, I'll be back, and until I come back, I want you to keep busy. Get into the word and then sharing that word with others. Nothing has changed for Wranglers today. Why is it so important to hear and study God's word? Well, let's use two words to answer that question: past, present. The gospel assures us that the past is past. This week marks one of the great days of my memories of years ago, and that is school is out. People are packing up their desks. It's all done. The whole year, it's past. It's over. Well, that's what the gospel assures us, that the past is past. Our sins have been paid for. Jesus has done it all for us. Salvation is won. And the gospel also assures us that our present is guided by God using his word. During World War II, the English knew that Hitler was going to invade the British Islands. And so they passed a law requiring every community to take down all the road and any road signs and any other sign that would name any town or village or street. The British knew the Germans had maps of the islands. But without any sign or a point of reference, they would be slowed in their progress and often wander about aimlessly. Well, one of the great blessings of hearing and studying God's word is that it gives us a point of reference. It's like a roadmap guiding us to heaven. It keeps us from wandering aimlessly by pointing out the right roads to take and the wrong roads to avoid. The Wranglers are growing church, but also they're a caring church. We go on. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as they had need. I don't care. That's a cruddy way to live. That's exactly the way many people do live. I don't care about anything else except my little corner of the world, my happiness, my career, my interests, my needs. All I care is that those things are being met. And when that is our attitude, the world in which we live becomes very small, and we completely lose sight of what our purpose is. What expands our world? What empowers us to think about others? What helps us to care? It's the gospel which feeds our faith. As our faith grows, it takes our eyes off of me and it looks to others. And when that happens, we do what our new man wants us to do, and that is to share. We share our time. We share our talents. We share our treasures. We share them for the noble and beautiful cause of the gospel. In His Steps is a story about a congregation that, well, they took seriously its mission in the world as disciples of Jesus. When an individual died in the congregation committed itself to living for 1 year with this question: what would Jesus do? Every action that the congregation took, every decision it made, is based on that question: what would Jesus do? In a way, it was not an easy year, but the congregation stayed true to the commitment and became a very powerful force in carrying out its ministry. In His Steps is still in print today, and it's been one of the most widely read books in the world. Because of what Jesus did, that is also a question we as a group of people can ask ourselves: what would Jesus do? Perhaps even better, what would Jesus have me to do? Because what Jesus did, we can care. Care for others is motivated by the cross and the empty tomb. It's motivated by the example of Jesus, the love of Christ. Lessons learned from the Wranglers. They're a growing church. They're a caring church. And that paves the way for a sharing church. Verses 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I could tell you, if we were right next to each other, I could tell if you're watching me, and you could tell if I'm watching you. Well, you may not always think so. It might not always be easy to spot, but people are watching you. I assume people who are a part of your lives, your world, know that you are a Christian. And making that assumption also means that you are being watched. My friends, every day, that is going to present you with opportunities to share. As Christians, we are both a believing Christian and a practicing Christian. Practicing our faith will open up avenues to share our faith. Why did the Lord add to their numbers daily those who are being saved? Because those Christians shared Christ. They verbalized what we sometimes keep in our heart that we don't let out. Jesus lived for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose for me. And if you're thinking, is that all there is? Is that simple? How simple the answer could be? It is. The perfect life, the cross where all our sins were paid in full, the empty tomb that assures us because Jesus lives, we also will live. I imagine that after today, you and I will still be known as Christians. But I also hope that we will keep this in the back of our minds, the Wranglers. It stands for a growing church, a caring church, and a sharing church. That is the kind of church, that is the kind of Christian I'll always want to be. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, Lord, you have given us your precious word to nourish our souls, to protect us from temptation of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. We pray that you would shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe and terrors of crime, the pain of disease, and watch over all our loved ones. Keep whatever perils may threaten them away from them. Lord, heal those who are sick and cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. Comfort all who are suffering in any way. We ask that you would bless our land. Grant your blessing to all. Where there's wars, may there be peace, and where there's hatred, let it be healed. Where there's poverty, danger, disaster, come with your almighty power. We ask all of this in the name of our Savior, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.